So as many of you know, this is the Shabbat that immediately precedes the holiday of Purim. And I've been thinking about this Purim story. I've been thinking about the idea of King Ahasuerus not being thrilled with Queen Vashti. If you remember the story, he banishes her, he removes her from the kingdom, and then he proceeds to hold a contest to help find the next queen. And while to many of us it may sound a bit antiquated, as the way Queen Esther is chosen, I can go along with the story because we need Queen Esther as our heroine. We need someone who is smart and brave and engaging and witty to win over the king's heart. But the part of the story that I wish was a little different is the following. Year after year, young children listen to the Purim play and they listen to the recitation of the Megillah. And depending on who tells the story or who interprets the story, children hear about a king picking out the most ideal girl in all of the kingdom, a flawless woman. Esther is described as nothing short of beautiful. And so the holiday of Purim begins with a foundation in which we all hear that in order to rise to the top, in order to be the best, in order to be the hero, we must be perfect. So without changing the plot twist, what would it have looked like to have a story in which certainly the king chooses Esther, but we also hear about her quirks and her shortcomings, the aspects of her life that drive her up the wall, an Esther that's relatable. An Esther in which we can say to ourselves after the story, wow, that woman is courageous and she's beautiful and she's nervous and she makes mistakes. This is a woman that succeeds, but she also falls down. A description of an Esther that teaches real heroines, they're not perfect. A description of Esther that teaches us, rather, heroines are perfectly imperfect. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that Esther was a human being. Of course, she wasn't faultless. But in the ways in which we describe her to our children, the story of Purim is conveyed with a character said without blemish or flaw. And so subconsciously, our children may wonder as they listen to the story if they ever can be a hero. And I think it's fascinating because in the Parsha, we see the exact opposite. In the Midrash, we see that God shows Moshe the exact plans to build the menorah. Moses descends from the mountain, and this is the best part of the Midrash. It says that Moses forgets the instructions. So again, Moses climbs back up the mountain. God repeats the instructions. Moses comes down. You can guess the next part. Moses forgets. And finally, God tells Moses, you know, forget it. I think you should go find someone else to do the job. And so Moses approaches Bezalel. And Bezalel makes the menorah, and within seconds, it's as if Bezalel was meant to do the job because he understands how to complete the task and seems to understand all of the instructions that Moses just couldn't comprehend. And here's the lesson that I pray each and every one of us holds on to this Shabbat. In the Midrash, you don't see God remarking on Moses' intellect or his inabilities. God just suggests that perhaps this time the task is meant for someone else. Moses is still the leader of our people, but being everything to everyone, behaving effortlessly, those are seemingly not requisites to serving as God's most esteemed messenger or prophet. Moses is not described as perfect. We all know he's described as humble, as someone who hides his face from God, as someone who's slow to speech. So if God doesn't expect Moses to be perfect, then why do we put the same pressure on our children? Why do we put that same kind of pressure on ourselves? Why is it so difficult to accept the gift of being imperfectly a human being filled with flaws, often seen as strengths? In Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, she reminds us that the word courage originally meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. She writes that when we pay attention, we see courage every day. Brown gives the example of the student in the classroom willing to raise their hand and say, "I'm so lost. I have no idea what you're talking about." I mean, how many of us have been in that situation where we've thought to ourselves, "I wish I could say something, but I'm too embarrassed to let anyone know that I'm just not able to follow along." There's courage when we look at ourselves and we admit personally, and when we admit publicly, I just can't do it all. There are things I do well and things I don't. And perhaps instead of berating ourselves for what we usually call deficiencies, instead, could we possibly see our weaknesses as someone else's opportunity, as someone else's gift, someone else's chance to make a difference in this world? Really accepting the totality of who we are. When we are vulnerable enough to share that we're just not perfect, I think it's that precise moment. It's then when we're able to connect, knowing that as we rise and as we fall, we are there to catch each other through our shortcomings and through our success. I share this message on Sisterhood Shabbat because I think sometimes as women, we're often the hardest on ourselves, asking why we can't be more like Esther, the perfect package fit for a king. And yet I want to remind us all of the story of Reb Zusia. Zusia explains that at the end of his life, God will not ask him, "Why weren't you more like Moses?" And God won't ask him, "Why weren't you more like Abraham?" But rather God will say, "Why weren't you more like Zusia?" In other words, God just wants us to be ourselves, unashamed, courageous, vulnerable, brave, growing, falling, rising. Heroes and heroines, just by being our perfectly imperfect selves. I wish all of you a Shabbat Shalom.